dependence upon the help of the Lord, I ask you, draw your attention to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 4 and verse 6. From the book of Psalms, the fourth psalm and the sixth verse. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Who are these people whom David says are many? Well, they come in two categories, really. I suppose in this day and age there'll be such people about that would say, in effect, who will show us any good? Worldly people, dead in trespasses and sins. But the good they want to see is the good of this life. And that is their substance, and that is their all. And so they constantly say, there's no content in the world, and there's no content in the heart of the world. There is a continued seeking for something else that will satisfy the old nature. There be many that say, who will show us any good? But there is another people that seek for good things, eternal things, real things, durable things. And may it be in this time state, in this declining time in which we are living in these latter days, that we may be among that many that shall say, who will show us any good? What are these people seeing that want to see now some good? What is it that they have now seen that they didn't see before? What is it that has been shown them that they now seek for good things? The world seek for good things, but they are time things. Whether it's health or strength, whether it's possessions, good bank balances, whatever it is, that's the good that they seek for. They'd like to live forever, and they'd like to amass that which shall be for their bodily comfort forever, but they'll not live forever. Their good things they shall have in this life. You remember, is it in one of the Gospels when there were those who, yes, it was that occasion when the rich man and Lazarus was a poor man and sores, but he was a child of grace. The rich man was full of this world's goods and effects and numerous mercies, but when they both died, one went to heaven, the other went to hell. And it was said of this rich man that he had his good in this life. But there is, as I said, a people who know the contrary, know the opposite. And I say again, the Lord make us to be found amongst that many who will say, who will show us any good. How you come to the Lord's house, the Lord knows, and not anyone else. What the secret wishes, desires, exercises, if there's been any, the Lord knows. But I believe it would be this, that the Lord will be pleased to show you today something good. A dead soul will not pray for any blessing from the Lord, because he does not either desire it, neither does he feel the need of it. It's like the natural hunger and thirst, which thankfully we still have for our food and drink, for the comforts of life that the Lord spreads upon, gives upon our tables. Now, to appreciate them truly, my friends, you must come to them, receive them as one that's hungry and thirsty. And so it is in spiritual things. But I want to come to the people of God especially, because it is spoken in a simple way, but it is spoken in a very clear way. These good things are to be shown, and when thou art shown, thou art received. My friends, I believe this, that every soul under grace will ever seek for that which is good. That desire shall come from grace, from the new nature of grace. It does not ever come and will not ever come from the old nature that you and I were born with. The good that we desire in our old nature is only earthly good. It is only for the good things of life and of time. But the good things that a child of God will seek for are eternal goods, because they shall come from glory. They are in glory, and the fullness of them is in glory, but they shall be imparted, and they shall be given, and they shall be revealed unto such souls that seek for them. It is also, I believe, the exercise of such souls that they may seek these things with patience. Now, that isn't the natural patience that we so lack. It's spiritual patience. It is those souls that have sought by prayer and supplication for these good things to be shown, and who feel at times to be not in possession of them. Now, there is something here which we must say before we go on, my friends, and that is, the Lord will reveal to you by His Spirit what is good. You would not ask for it otherwise, and you would not seek for it otherwise, and you wouldn't know the need of it otherwise. There'll be many that say, who will show us any good? It is, going back to the natural, you know, it seems a sort of destitute way of looking round and wondering who it is out of all the whole of mankind that will show us any good. But not so the Lord's people. Not at all. I don't know if I can find the hymn, but it dropped in this morning. Yes, it's one of Charles Wesley's hymns. It so dropped in because I suppose it suits my spirit, that the Lord was pleased to remind me of it. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till thy inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then, that's what I was touched with. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief. More and more thyself display, shine into the perfect day. There'll be many that say, who will show us any good? But these dear souls who seek for what is good, they are taught, led, directed to know what is good. Not know it in the possession of it, but know it in the seeking of it. It has been shown them, either by His blessed word being made life and light and profit to your soul, or as you are enabled to be found at the throne of grace in prayer and supplication, and you've asked the Lord to lead you into prayer, and He's led you into what you need for your soul. He's opened up to your spiritual understanding the blessings, the mercies, and the graces that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to show you. And you pray for what you need, you know. My friends, in spiritual things, you pray for what you need. And if you've no need, there's no prayer. Oh, you might go through the ways of prayer, as we might call it, and morning and night make your vows before the Lord, my friends, but it's the needy that pray. It's the poor in spirit that pray. It's those that are feelingly, and I say it very carefully, feelingly destitute that pray. Remember David's own words, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. You may set your prayers aside as being but groans and sighs and unacceptable to God. My friends, the prayers of the destitute are better than the prayers of the Pharisees. And the prayers of the destitute enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. They may be but groans and cries and sighs and tears, my friends, but they are desires, needs, and seeking of a gracious soul that the Lord shall answer. There be many that say, who will show us any good? So you will need to know the other side of this text before you ever know the need to pray these words. My friends, it is only those dear souls whom the Lord has shown, revealed, and made them to walk in these seasons of need, these times of darkness. Let us look at some of these times the Lord's people are taught by and taught in. We should, and I'll tell you why I read the 16th of John afterwards, if I remember before we close to tell you that. But my friends, those who are waiting on the Lord, seeking a portion for their soul, those dear ones who have life in their soul, and they might even argue whether it was life, but they seek the things which are of life and not the things which are of death. A living soul and not a dead soul desires those things. Now, they may often have to wait on the Lord and wait for him. Many a time there's been those times when the Holy Spirit so enables you to wait for him, but on the same time there is those deceitful suggestions that waiting, it will be a waiting in vain, that the Lord will not command the blessing that you pray for. My friends, why is it then that you wait? Why is it, my friends, that you pray for and seek after still those mercies? Could I joy his saints to meet, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet, if I did not love the Lord? Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon the work of grace, if it be indeed begun. There be many that say, who will show us any good? And such is the time when you attend the means of grace, or such is the time when you are found at the throne of grace, and you pray for, you seek after those things which will turn your darkness to light, which will turn your sorrows into joy, which will turn you from hopelessness to that blessing of his grace and of his goodness in Christ. Who will show us any good? We might just deviate here a bit, my friends, and say concerning the welfare of the house of God, who will show us any good? What is the good that we desire to see here? Many religious places, my friends, are satisfied with numbers. The blessing that is desired by my soul for this house of God and for your soul is that we might have a people that can speak of Christ. And that's the good, because that's where it is, and that's where it abides, my friends, and that's what the Spirit will show a soul that seeks for those things that are good. Now, perhaps I might say this before I forget it. In the 16th of John, we have, and as we have in the 14th and the 15th chapters, the promise of the Holy Ghost. And in the 16th chapter it was this: howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. There is the words that brought me to read that 16th chapter. I looked at this little psalm and I thought, well, I can't read that 8 verses. There must be something that will be found in God's holy word that will line up with the text. My friends, we have first of all the good, and that is Christ. That we have also the channel by which this goodness shall be shown to us. And my friends, that's the work of the Spirit. A religion without the Holy Ghost will take you to hell. A religion of the Holy Ghost will take you to heaven. Those who mourn their ignorance of Christ will only know Christ as the Holy Spirit will reveal to you of Christ. You only know what you do know by revelation, showing. There'll be many that say, who will show us any good? My friends, the Lord bless us as a people with the Holy Spirit's work in your souls, that it might please him, that we might have a people who shall, with wonder and amazement and thankfulness and humility, speak of the things that have been shown them of Jesus Christ. My friends, there's so many things that of Jesus Christ that is good. And you may say, well, isn't everything good? Well, everything is good of Christ. But everything that you and I shall need in Christ for our salvation, for our comfort, for our peace of mind, and for our seal for glory, who will show us any good? And it is all stored up, if I may use the words you understand, it is all found in Jesus Christ. One quoted, a fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. My friends, that is where it is found. That is where you and I, by faith, will be brought to look for that which is good. Nowhere else. I thought about him and changed the words this morning, where the hymn writer says, no help in self I find, never look for good in self, and neither look for good in anyone else either. That isn't the good that will do people, the children of God, of any benefit. We are but a mass of sin by nature. This goodness is Christ's goodness, and it is stored up for God's people in Christ. And it is as the Holy Spirit may be pleased to come and show it unto them first, reveal where it is. Oh, that there might be a little opening of the eyes of one's understanding and the eyes of faith to see where it is. There'll be many that say, who will show us any good? I'm sure of this, dear friends, if I stayed in this pulpit till 8 o'clock tonight, I'll never exhaust this goodness in Christ. And I may just touch one or two of the goodness of Christ that the seeking soul desires for. The very person of Christ, first of all. You know what this dear hymn writer said, Charles Wesley, thou, O Christ, art all I want. Now that's where a sinner will be found that needs a saviour. The very presence of Christ. I was going to say, let alone what he is and what he's done, but the very presence of the Lord. This is the one of the good things that a child of grace will want. I looked also at the somewhere it's in Matthew, I think, where the Lord speaks of the fruit of grace to be seen. Now, the fruit of grace will not be seen where there is no grace in the heart. You won't find good fruit from an evil tree, in other words. You'll only find evil fruit. But you will find good fruit in a good tree. Now, before you cut yourself off with such a description of that good thing, as the apostle said, I believe, of Timothy, is of grace within, not of nature within. There isn't goodness in nature, it's sinfulness, and it's contrary to goodness completely. But the goodness that is found in the heart is that which is of grace. It comes from heaven, and it is that goodness that shall bring forth good fruit. But let us go on. Who will show us any good? Who but the soul that's alive unto Christ desires to have the revelation of Christ? My friends, a dead soul will not talk about his desire because he hasn't got one. Those who have the intimation of Christ by the word of God and by the revelation of the Spirit will long to see him more and hear his voice. We read, drew your attention to it, I think, in the Song of Solomon, the exercise of the bride. The exercise of the bride, you know. How she longs for the bridegroom. You remember, my beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door, my bells were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, and he gave me no answer. It's just a delightful evidence, my friends, of the child of grace seeking for Christ. Who will show us any good? This blessed person of Christ, who he is as the eternal Son of the eternal God, and more, we might describe of Christ as the person who took upon himself the burden of the sins of his church, and suffered and bled and died, who wept, who sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, who mourned the hidings of his father's face. This is the person that is good. Who will show us any good? Who will be the person that will show us of Christ, show us those things of Christ? You know, there's an expression in the evangelical world, I can't live with it. And it speaks of a minister or an elder or some such office bearer who led people to Christ. My friends, the Holy Ghost will lead people to Christ and not man. I wouldn't dare take that assumption upon a man. My friends, how can a man lead anyone to Christ? The Holy Ghost will do the leading and the blessing. Well, there are those here that have seen him. But my friend, if I asked you, are you satisfied with what you have seen? You would say this, you would want to see him again. You would want to see him again. I also read in that 16th chapter, not purposely so, but the promise of Christ. In the days, of course, that he spoke them, he was about to leave them and go to Gethsemane's garden. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Now a child of God will have sorrow when he hasn't got Christ. If he's in a healthy state in his soul, he'll not be put off, he'll not be satisfied with past visits, though they are a comfort in the recollection of them. He'll not be satisfied with the means of grace and not be satisfied with anything but the fulfillment of that promise. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day you shall ask me nothing. My friends, those who have seen him long to see him again. And those who would have to say, well, I don't seem to ever have seen him. It doesn't seem to be my lot to be blessed with the blessings of the Lord's people. I hear them say of the revelation of Christ to the soul. I hear them say of those visions in the night seasons, or those words from the Lord, and I come so short because I don't seem to be able to go along with those blessings. What then distresses you, poor sinner? What causes you to wait on him and wait for him? That you might be blessed with the blessings of his people? That you might be in possessions of your possessions, as we read in the Word of God? These possessions are to those who are under grace. But my friends, the showing of it, who will show us any good? It will be the Holy Spirit's work so to do. He's such a blessed, blessed person, is the Holy Ghost. He's equal with God and with the Son. But my friends, there's such a love, I believe, in the hearts of seeking ones. And there's such an exercise that the blessed Holy Ghost will reveal Christ. And I know no blessing, my friends, that will be so satisfying than Christ revealed to the heart the hope of glory. And when I see him as I am, I'll praise him as I ought. You know what Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, wanted? Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and to put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. There will be plenty of people who will tell you of Christ, my friends, but there are the soul of the believer, the seeking soul, will not be satisfied with what others have got. They may rejoice in what others have got. We said recently, I think, in this chapel, or we read recently, the closing words of the 40th Psalm. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. That was David's desire for believers. But what about him? But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We said, I think it was Wednesday, or we quoted from the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Those words, and it was now dark and Jesus had not come. But he did come. And though he came in the storm, in the height of the storm and of the danger that lay upon those dear disciples, he did come. And they were soon at land. Who will show us any good? The person of Christ. And the person of Christ in his offices. My friends, never lose sight of the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are needful to salvation, and they will be needful to you. You know, one said, and since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he is seen instead of me when I approach to God. If you pray, and I trust you do, you will need him as one who stands between, the mediator, the intercessor. Because you know what the apostle wrote, that out of Christ our God is a consuming fire. When you pray, my friends, and that's one of the first evidences of spiritual life, you'll need the office of a mediator. You'll need one who stands between. my friends, and that is Jesus Christ in human form, with the nail marks in his hands and in his feet. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. You know, in the offices of the temple and tabernacle, there was one man who had a great responsibility, and that was the high priest. And every year, once a year, that man's responsibility took him into the holiest of all. And he dare not go into the holiest of all that he without blood. And for this he took, for the sins of the people and his own sins. But he took something else in with him. And in that garment that he wore upon the breastplate of judgment, as it was called, there were 12 stones. And they were engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel. And those stones, those names, were near to his heart. Near to his heart. Who will show us any good? Our great high priest, who entered into the heavens. My friends, because of him, and because of his intercession, we may venture on his name. My friends, who but the seeking soul needs that appearance for them? Who will show us any good? But the great high priest, occupation, we might say, was to offer sacrifices. And that sacrifice must be a pure sacrifice. It must be a perfect sacrifice. But it is also the blood of that sacrifice that was needful to be shed. This blessed person is not only the great high priest, he's also the sacrifice. It was a perfect life. My friends, it was an ignominious death, but it was an offering made for sin. And it was an acceptable offering to the holiness of God the Father. But oh, his blood, the blood, who will show us any good? If you're a sinner, you will want to see that blood, and you'll want it also applied. When they dwelt in Goshen, the Jews had a way of escape given them from the captivity of Egypt, from the bondage of Egypt, from the wickedness of wicked men who afflicted them. And that deliverance was this blood. And it was God provided the remedy, in that he taught Moses and Aaron that they should take a lamb, and that the blood should be shed, and the blood should be applied. There's such a lot of truth in these Old Testament, and such a lot of Christ in these Old Testament dispensations. But this was the blessing, and it is all blessing, really. Every part of that Passover lamb was spiritually discerned, you know, by the gracious. First of all, it was a lamb that must be slain, a lamb that was perfect. That is, there was nothing wrong with it. It was to be roasted as was by fire, and it should be consumed. And then its blood shall be put on the doorpost and lintel. All these things was typical of Christ. But there was still a blessing. They did all these things, and then they went into their houses and shut their doors, and then they lost sight of the blood. But it was their safety, though they lost sight of it. They couldn't see it. I remember a dear old minister in Sussex saying, You think of those faint-hearted Jews, and say, who said within themselves, "Well, do you think it's all right? We can't see the blood," but it didn't matter. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who will show us any good? Only poor sinners will need this precious blood. My friends, we're often accused of preaching too much of it. And you can't preach too much of it, because you can't be aware of it more, and you can't be in need of it more as you grow older. And my friends, if the Lord should show you the remedy, his own precious blood, and be pleased to apply it today to your heart and conscience, and I want to be very careful and reverent when I say this, it won't be long before you need it again. There be many that say, who will show us any good? How often do you need this blood? When you're sensible of your sinnership, that's when you'll need this blood. I've often felt we could say truly every day we need this precious blood. But my friends, I would try to say this to any. It's when you come in need of it. When you see your sinnership, when you feel it, that the power of indwelling sin. Oh, plead the blood that did for sin atone. My friends, it's been shown you. We sit at the Lord's table tonight, and we shall read those words from the Corinthians. My friends, it's been shown you through the means of grace, through the holy word of truth. You've heard it from the first day till the last, you'll hear it. Of the sufferings and of the shed blood of Christ, it's been shown you in the printed word. But blessed be God if it's been shown you in your own soul and brought you into great need of that blood. Because too, my friends, it is only that that can put away sin. It's able to wash away sin. And it is only that which brings forgiveness. It's only that that brings pardon. It's only that that brings peace. You read all about it, my friends, in the Word of God. But it's the showing of it and the application of it and the knowledge of it that will do you good. Now we must close. The time's gone. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Amen.
Notices for this week are as follows. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor will preach next Lord's Day. The amount collected from the building fund box at the door for August was £130. Just close with him 977. The wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. There is a great physician near. Look up, O fainting soul, and live. See, in his heavenly smiles appear such ease as nature cannot give. Hymn 977.
Oh,
The word, oh, apply the blessing of the substance of this word. Lord, we thank thee for the gospel and how suitable it is to us. Lord, may we ever joy and rejoice in the things of Christ. Now take us, Lord, to our homes in peace and abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abide with us, both now and forever. Amen.